it. Amen? Amen. All right. Well, are you ready for the word this morning?
Yep.
All right. Are you ready to see God's glory in your life manifested? And that's kind of been the theme. Believe, and you will see the glory of God. And we need to see Him and trust Him. And just like Esther shared, you know, that was the glory of God opening those doors, those things that you never expect, those little blessings. And that's just a little tip of the iceberg. But I believe God is calling us individually and as a church to believe Him for greater. And I'm not talking material things, and that's nice. I'm talking about the opportunity to share with other people the good news of who Jesus Christ is, to see them inherit eternal life, to see their lives reconstructed, and to see them blessed, relationships restored, all these different things. That is what the true blessing is. And then the peace and the joy we have. And the material things are nice, but, you know, we want to see the glory of God in every single situation. I don't care what it is. Save people that need to be saved, relationships, healings, whatever. And so that's what we're really believing God for. And I know that's where Pastor John's going to go this morning, believing, trusting God in even greater way. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Enough of me. Father, we give you thanks. And Father, we pray that you would increase our faith. That man one day that Jesus came by and the one man, Jesus asked him, do you believe that I am able to do this? And the man said, Lord, increase my faith. He knew where he stood. And he wasn't going to try to pretend that he was this great man of faith or what have you. Lord, we are all at different levels of faith here today. And I pray, Father, that you'd increase our faith, that you call us to get out of the boat, to keep our eyes on you, and to walk towards you, regardless of the wind and the rain and the waves and everything crashing around us. Lord, may we be a people that are single-minded. May we be myopic in our vision and have our eyes and our hearts and our minds totally set on you. Now, bless Pastor John as he brings forth the word today. Let it come forth in richness. Let it bear fruit, and let seed be produced that is even scattered to the four winds. Father, we give you thanks, and we give you praise. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, as you know, that's what we've been talking about expecting to see God move. And it was Jesus himself who told us this in John 11:40. He says, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? You know, it's easy to believe that God is working in our life when things are going good. You know, we're all happy, this happened, that happened, and we say, wow, God's really moving. But it's harder to trust God when we can't see Him and we feel like we're going through the fire. Isn't that? That's a hard time, you know, to feel like God's there then. And one of my favorite stories about somebody going through the fire is the story that we find in the book of Daniel, chapter 3, and I'm sure you've heard some of it, but you're going to get to hear a little bit of it again today. And it's in chapter 3 that we find that King Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had just made an image of gold. And it was a huge statue. It was like 90 feet high and 90 feet wide. That's a lot of gold. That's a lot of gold. And he was having his official dedication ceremony. And every time the musicians began to play this certain song, everybody had to come up to the statue and bow down before it. And if you didn't do it, there was a penalty to be paid. You were going to be killed by being thrown into a blazing furnace. Some of the king's astrologers, they came forward and they accused three of the king's officials because they were not bowing down. And these men just happened to be all Jews. And you know why they didn't bow down? Because they don't bow down before some false god. Their names were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they refused to worship the golden image. And so this is where we enter the story, and I'm going to read some of this Daniel here. It's a great story. It starts in Daniel 3, verse 13. It's furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Is this true that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I've set up? You're part of my crew. You're some of my officials. Now, when you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, the pipe, and all the electric guitars, and all kinds of music, if you are ready, fall down and worship the image I made. And if you do that, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? The king didn't know something. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king. These guys laid it out. O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you had set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And his attitude towards them changed. He liked them. He liked them before. Now he was mad. He was mad. He ordered the furnace heated up 7 times hotter than usual. And he commanded some of his strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement, and he asked his advisors, "Weren't there 3 men we tied up and threw into the fire?" And they replied, "Well, certainly, O king." And he said, "Well, look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire, unbound, unharmed, and the 4th looks like the son of the gods." Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace. All that heat coming out. You ever try to go in and move a log out of a really good fire in your fireplace? You know how that burns your hands if you stick them in there? I do it all the time, I know. And he shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here." So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they just came out of the fire. And the satraps and the prefects and the governors and the royal advisors, they all crowded around them. They're wondering, what the heck is going on here? How can these guys still be alive? The guys that just went up to the edge to throw them in, they died. These guys been in there, and now they're out here? They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was their hair singed, their robes were not scorched, and there was not even smell of fire on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces and their houses be turned into piles of rubble, for no other God can save in this way." And then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Wow. And that's not just a fable. It's not a fairy tale. That's a true story. People will try to tell you it's not, but it is. It's a true story. These 3 men willingly walked into one of the most fiery trials that I could ever imagine. And I sure wouldn't want to go in there. They believed in their God, and they saw his glory revealed, just like Jesus was talking about. They not only willingly went into the fire, but they found God in the midst of it. They found out about His saving power firsthand. And they got through. They went through an actual trial by fire. Something we say. How about us? Are we as Christians ready to believe in God enough to go through the fiery trials of life and in that trial try to find God? Try to meet Him. Try to find out what is He trying to show us in this hard time? What is He trying to show us in the midst of this disaster? I can guarantee you that we are going to go through plenty of tough times throughout our life. But I can also guarantee you that God will be right there with you if you look for Him. He'll never leave you. Mark 9:49 says, everyone will be salted with fire. Non-Christians as well as Christians, we're all going through trials. There's nobody who's going to escape hard times in their life. There's no easy way out. John 16:33 says, I have told you these things. This is Jesus speaking. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace, because in this world you will have trouble. But take heart, for I have overcome the trouble. Or be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. In 1 Peter, Peter tells us, 4:12, dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering as though something strange were happening to you. What is he saying? That going through trials, going through tough times, going through the fire is not something strange. You know what it's called? Life. It's life. We're all going to go through those times. The difference is we've got God there with us when we're serving Him. What we need to understand is that going through these trials is an opportunity to meet God and to grow stronger as we, you know, as we and go through that process and are ultimately blessed by God's hand being there. But that only happens if we already have that kind of a mindset that says, you know, I believe God will be with me, so I'm going to look for Him. See, we have to look for God. We have to believe. Jesus said, if you believe, you will see the glory of God revealed. So we have to believe that He's working in our lives. Remember, God is there and He's working out all things. All things. That includes every trial, every disaster, every hard time. He's still using that thing to build us. We're told to count our trials as joy. A lot of fun, isn't it? Going through the hard times. It's not usually fun, but they prepare us to be able to handle what's coming down the road. When we can look back and see how much those trials caused us to grow, how faithful God was, what kind of things came out of that trial, then we can say, you know what, that was a good thing. And if we could know all that good ahead of time, we could realize that it is something that we can rejoice in. So we have to know that ahead of time, that if we believe, that God is going to use this. And so there's reason for joy, even though we may not feel it. Back when I was testing to join the fire department a long time ago, back in the mid-80s, I took a lot of tests, a lot of physical tests that there's no way I could pass now. We had to carry people up 3 flights of stairs. We had to carry them up and down ladders. We had to raise these huge ladders up like about 25, 30 feet, something like that, and then climb up over the top and over the bottom while guys just held them with ropes. And we had to run a mile under 6 minutes. We had to do all these things. And all kinds of other tests. And none of these things were meant to defeat me. The reason they did this was because this way we had to prepare. We had to be trained so that we could prove that we could do this thing. It was supposed to bring out the best in us. And it's something that we had to go through. We had to accomplish those things. And if we didn't go through that trial, we never would have worked ourselves up to that point. And the reason for that was that when we were on the job, we would be able to do our job and not get hurt, not get killed, and actually be able to help and possibly even save others because we were prepared. Well, that's our life. You see, God puts us through trials just like that. He puts us through tough times, through tough training. It's all training. All our trials, all those fiery trials, those are training. Those are to help us, to teach us, to train us so that we can go through our life, our job, serving the Lord, and not get hurt, not get killed, and actually be able to help others and help bring them home safely to God. Testing by fire is often a process. It's a purifying. It's a refining. You know, and just like silver or gold is refined, that's sort of what happens to us. It starts out, you know, that silver or gold starts out looking like a rock, like rocks. There's just little tiny veins in there. It's not just all gold just sitting there or silver. But then it's heated up in the fire, and the fire burns away everything, but it leaves the silver. It leaves the pure silver and the pure gold. And in our case, the fire is burning away our flesh, our fleshly attitudes, our rebellion, our pride, those type of things. Psalm 66:10 says, "For you, O God, tested us. You refined us like silver." I love this part here in Isaiah 43, starting in verse 1. It says, "But now this is what the Lord says, He who created you, O Jacob who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." With God on our side, we're not going to be burned. We're not going to die in that fire. We won't fail if we follow Him into that fire, if we look for Him, if we meet Him in that fire. What trials are you going through right now? I know you are. Everyone in here is going through something. And some of you are going through a lot. You know, it may be health issues. It may be financial issues. It might be relational. It might be death or divorce or marriage problems or your children or sickness or character issues or school or discouragement or depression, you name it. There are a million things that you could be going through at any time. God knows we go through those things because, like I said earlier, that's life. And Peter said, don't be surprised when you're going through those. Jesus said, you will have trouble. But He'll be there with you. The furnace of affliction is different for everyone. There used to be a woman here a long time ago. She moved away by the name of Regina. I know some of you remember Regina. She used to always say that, the furnace of affliction. I was thinking, going over this last night, and I was thinking about, reminded me of her. Every one of us goes through the furnace of affliction at different times in our life. Burn some of that junk off. It's all part of God's plan. It's not something strange happening to you. It's not the devil. And not that the devil can't bother us. Certainly he can. But God's working in our life. And that's what He wants us to know, that don't just immediately discount that thing and say that's not for you, that's not from God. What we should do is immediately say, God, what can I learn? Because God can take anything we go through, even something the devil tried to do to you and take it and teach us. It was the devil that put Jesus on the cross, but it sure was God's plan, wasn't it? David was chased by King Saul. You remember that? Saul was trying to kill him. Joseph was thrown in prison. He was falsely accused. All kinds of things. Abraham was ordered to kill his son. The son he finally got. Job lost his family, his everything he owned. You know, Stephen was stoned to death. One of the first martyr. Jesus was betrayed. He was sweating blood in the garden. He went to that cross. He died on the cross. Mary had to watch her innocent son die a painful death. Paul's list, it's way too long to even begin to talk about. He went through all kinds of stuff. And every one of those were good people. Those were good people. Those were God's people. They all went through trials. And God was with every one of them. As God told Paul, His grace is sufficient. In all these situations, the key is to turn towards God, not away from Him. Don't get mad at God. Sometimes people, they get mad at God when bad things happen, instead of turning to Him and getting the help we need. Knowing that His power is made perfect in weakness. That's when we learn to trust in Him. Learn to trust in God and not ourselves. Because we can't fix all those things. Every trial is another opportunity to see God move. To see Him work in our life. And as we believe in Him and put our hope in Him, we're going to be rewarded. We'll see His glory revealed in our life. And this hope, when we talk about that hope in the Bible, that hope means a confident expectation of things to come. That's the kind of hope that God has for us. That He is able to do. Able to do what? Able to do anything. Do you think there is any trial that we could face that would surprise God, that would stump Him? Could you imagine God sitting up in heaven on His throne saying, man, I don't know what I'm going to do for, I don't know how I'm going to help Him in this. That's not God. He's seen it all. And the more kinds of trials we face, the more ways God can reveal Himself to us. It just gives us another way to view how God works. To know Him more, to know Him better. We need to see our trials as a challenge, an opportunity to grow, to trust God, to know Him so that we can go forward and fight on and get the next victory. Do we really trust God that He has a plan and He's working out all things in our life according to His purpose? Do we believe that God can provide the solution to anything that we have to go through? That's where He wants us to be. In John 6:5, you remember when Jesus looked up and He saw this great crowd of people coming to Him, and He said to Philip, where shall we buy bread for these people to eat? And He asked him only to test him. There He is again, testing. For He already had in mind what He was going to do. But Philip answered Him, 8 months' wages would not be buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. Now, he had a lot of faith, didn't he? None. Another of His disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. Here's a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will that go against so many? He didn't really have much faith either. But at least he saw something. Jesus said, have the people sit down. There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there, and that means there was probably somewhere between 10,000, 15,000 or more people there. And Jesus took the loaves, 5 loaves, 5 fish, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. And when they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, the same ones who said this would never be enough, gather the pieces that are left over and let nothing be wasted. So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves and the fish that were left over by those who had eaten. 12 baskets left over. Can God provide? Philip didn't have the faith. Andrew had maybe a little bit, but not much. They could not see with their natural eyes how God was going to pull this off. They put their hope in what they could see, not in the unlimited power, the unlimited resources, the unlimited wisdom, the unlimited strength of God. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was a little bit of a different story. Did they understand how God was going to save them? Not really. But they put their hope in God anyway. They trusted God anyway. They knew that He could save them, and their expectation was that He would save them. And they trusted God enough to welcome, to expect any outcome at all. They just believed that somehow or other, God would work it out. And they were going to honor God no matter what. That's why they said, even if He doesn't save us, we will not bow down to your God. And that's where the rubber meets the road. Can we trust God? And believe that when He puts us through something, that when He works it out, it's going to be the best thing. Can we trust Him in our trials? Are we committed to finding Him in the fire, in the blazing furnace? Will we let Him work His will in us, or will we run? We need to run, but we need to run to Him. To Him. So that He can change us into the image of His Son. In 1 Peter 1:3, it says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come, these trials have come, so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise." And there's that glory, glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Once again, He's saying, get ready, believe, and you will see God's glory revealed. He's telling us, how can we see that glory revealed unless we go through the trials? There's no way around it. It's worth going through the fire if it gives us an opportunity to experience God's power, His love, His mercy, His grace, His kindness, His goodness, His provision, His protection. It's all there. Wherever God is, we get the whole basket. We get it all. Every good gift, every good thing comes down from our Father in heaven. And He wants us to know the love and the faithfulness that He has for us. To see His glory revealed in us. God would never put us in the fire unless he already had a plan. A plan to bring out the blessing and the protection and the perfection that would come through that fire. This is true faith. Being able to praise God in the midst of our trial. Whatever it is you're going through. You know what? God's going to work this out. God's going to make it happen. Remember Job when he said, "When he has tested me, I will come forth as pure gold." He just trusted God. Naked I came, naked I go back. You know, I return. What do we have that's not from God? That's faith. Trials can sometimes be some of God's greatest blessings in disguise. If we go into those trials looking for God, believing that God will reveal himself. The key is meeting God in the fire. Meeting God in the fire, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He's in there. He's there for us, with us. He'll be there. It's his promise. We may have a hard time seeing him. We may have a hard time feeling. We may have a hard time believing, but he's there. And we need to get that in our heart, in our mind, in our being, that when we go through things, God will be there even when we can't see him. He's there for you and he's there for me. I could have the prayer team come forward. You know, the devil makes his biggest mistake when he harasses us or hounds us so much that he drives us to our knees. You know, that's one of the key things that these trials do, is they make us cry out to God. They make us go past our flesh, past our easy ways, get on our knees and beg God. And get before him with a broken heart. A broken self. And come face to face with God. Some of our best prayer times ever will be in the midst of trials. And God knows that. He knows that. That's why he allows things to happen like that in our life. To get us back focused. To drive us to our knees. To make us more committed to fighting. More committed to looking for him. More committed to seeing him. To believing in him. To trusting in him. Than we ever would be during the easy time. You know, the times when they're easy, they're good for a while. But then something happens when stuff is too easy. We get lax. It's like God has to continually stoke the fire a little bit to keep us with him. He loves us so much that he's willing to do that. You think he likes it when his kids have to go through something tough? Of course he doesn't. He doesn't like it when you have to struggle. But he'd rather see you struggle than to see you fall or fail or turn away and not come back. So he keeps you. He keeps you by allowing you to go through those trials and being there with you and for you. And rescuing you once again. So that he'll be your hero once again. He'll be your God, your Lord, your King. That's it. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you that you are with us during
the trials, during the fire, during the tough times. We thank you that you know how to keep us close to you. We thank you that you always, always have our best interests at heart, that you love us, that you will not fail us. We thank you, Lord God, that you're a good God, a good, good Father. Thank you that you've revealed yourself to us, that we can know you, that we can love you, and that we can one day spend eternity with you in heaven. What greater thing could we ever have? Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. I pray, Lord, that your blessing would be upon each person here, Lord God, that we would truly believe and see you as we go through our trials. That we would always put our hope in you, a confident expectation that we would trust you and never let those hard things harden our heart, but just the opposite, that the hard things would draw us to you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen, Father.
Amen. Hey, we have coffee and donuts upstairs, so stick around. Thanks for coming out today, and God bless you.